Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Lean. Welcome to Industry Corner, a podcast where I discuss postal industry news to help you stay informed.
On today's podcast, I recap the recent DTAC meetings and some upcoming changes to the USPS Board of Governors. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. The Delivery Technology Advocacy Council, or DTAC as commonly known, met in St. Augustine, Florida on November 16th with both an in-person and remote attendee meeting. Now, kudos to the many association members that were able to be there in person, and also to Karen McCormick from the USPS OIG, and to our postal partners who are willing to join us while in the midst of the peak mailing season. I especially want to thank Chairman Steve Lopez and Windowbook for hosting the meeting, and for Garrett Hoyt, who was recently named Acting Vice President Technology Applications for the USPS, who attended in person. Again, congratulations, Garrett, on your recent promotion. We began the meeting with a presentation from Robert Cintron, who discussed how the USPS prepared and is actively managing the peak mailing season, or what they call their quarter one readiness plan. Now, some things that the USPS implemented prior to peak that Robert discussed included working on a deliberate plan for loading and unloading training that has been rolled out throughout the network, which appears to be a response to last year's challenge of not following a first-in, first-out approach. And they're also having designated teams for expediters and handlers to focus on cycle times at the doors. They also increased facility space by opening 51 package support annexes, installing 89 new package sorters, increasing work floor space by 7.2 million square feet, and all of this which it will enable them to increase their capacity for handling packages by 2.4 million pieces per day. Robert also wanted to assure the industry that the USPS is not getting out, quote unquote, of the air transport business, but rather making sure the right products are in the right network. He noted that the USPS has 12% more capacity than in 2021 for air transport. Robert also discussed how the USPS is enhancing mail transport, as well as expanding the surface transfer, or STC, capacity by 1.6 million additional square feet, and they're adding 315 additional dock doors. The USPS has also focused a lot on logistics and yard control improvements, leveraging data and technology to facilitate load and unload times. Robert urged the industry to continue to destination enter their mail as close to the final destination as possible in order to help shorten these cycle times. Finally, and pretty excitingly, Robert discussed the Rapid Entry and Mail Unload, or REMU, initiative, which is a joint USPS and an industry initiative to share logistics and GPS data. Industry arrival times are updated in real time using GPS units, and that data is shared with USPS. The truckload contents are then mapped to the fast appointments, and the USPS has even developed some really interesting visualization tools to manage the data and provide some business analytics that Robert showed us. Though these tools are really internal purposed right now, but there was some talk about possibly making them available to the industry in the future. Some DTAC members suggested that a workshare discount might be something for the USPS and the Postal Regulatory Commission to consider, providing that those MSPs that are able to share data with the REMU initiative. This is a way to additionally provide workshare, since the industry is providing this additional data that's going to help the Postal Service. But it was also noted during the meeting later on that, you know, that phrase workshare discounts really doesn't seem to reflect the value that the industry is providing with some of the data sharing and the other collaborative efforts that we're making. And so maybe it's time for a different phrase than worksharing, because it really is about adding value. Next up, we heard from Mark McCreary, who's the USPS VP of Customer Experience. And for the first time, the USPS now has a single organization dedicated to delivering consistent customer care and experiences, which includes Consumer Advocate, Business Service Network, Enterprise Customer Care and Retention, Customer Experience, and Field Customer Relations. Mark noted during his presentation that the toll-free number of 1-800-ASK-USPS had 94 million total network calls within the last past year, and with 11.3 million of those calls were being answered by live answered by the agents. The average wait time for each call was nearly 9.5 minutes, which is a rather long time period, particularly if you're kind of waiting there with that. That seems like it could be a long time. And then the primary reason he noted was really related to missing packages. These are packages that are reported as being delivered, but they're really not yet received by the end recipient. And I've personally seen this happen a few times as well. And my guess is that it's probably due to companies that use the USPS as the last mile delivery, And those companies are reporting that, oh, the package has been delivered, when in fact it was really only delivered to the local post office, not the final endpoint. So as data sharing continues to become more ubiquitous and with carriers scanning packages at the delivery point, you know, rather than at the beginning of the route or during the route or whatever they're doing with that, hopefully this will be a concern that starts to get minimized. But I think the real answer here is, again, going to be that data sharing. And that goes back to that the earlier presentation from Robert Cintron that I thought was really fascinating. Mark did a great job presenting his vision for how he's going to enhance the customer experience. However, some members of DTAC did seem to feel that the focus was more on the retail customer concerns and just not enough on the mail owner and service providers. And it kind of brought up that same question, well, who's really the customer, right? The postage payer or the end recipient, the person at the mailbox. But knowing Mark, you know, I'm certain that he is working on actively improving that part of the customer experience as well. So the whole part of the experience. Like I said, Mark's just been a solid partner with the mailing industry these many years, and he understands how the ecosystem of this industry works. So I have a lot of confidence that Mark, he's focusing first on retail. I mean, that's all sort of top of mind right now because we're in the middle of peak and a lot of packages, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to continue to work together. And I'm really, really pleased. So again, congratulations, Mark, that he's leading up that initiative. Finally, for DTAC, we heard from Garrett Hoyt, whom I noted earlier attended the meeting in person. Garrett discussed his new role as acting vice president of technology applications and presented a few slides on some of the active initiatives. However, most of his presentation was really just spent listening to concerns from DTAC members, especially the software companies, as we're trying to prepare for what will be 5 major releases in the next 12 months. DTAC urged Garrett and the USPS to consider returning to a scheduled major and minor release cadence whereby the structure changes would be implemented with, say, a January release and only just a price table update release for July. Garrett did seem to understand the challenge, though he noted that there are a number of functional areas within the USPS that would need to come together in order to establish an agreed-upon cadence because there's still a little bit of some silos that are going on there. And it was suggested that MTAC might be a venue for this, but most, including myself, feel that really the Mailing Software Development Group, or MSDG, which is a subcommittee within DTAC, would be the best venue for a conversation between the USPS and the industry stakeholders to align not only on a proper cadence for releases, but also for structural changes to Mail.Data and MailXML. And as a reminder to the listeners, you know, Mail.Data and MailXML are those specifications now that are owned by DTAC. And so DTAC has the responsibility of keeping those compliant. They really are the standardized communication for the entire ecosystem. So it's very, very important that we have some kind of a regular cadence and an understanding of what these changes are going to be so we can get the software prepared in time, we can get the specifications done in time, because it's not just what's being done with the pre-sort software or the CAS or PAVE certified software, but it also has to do with the mail.dat editing and manipulating technology as well. So there's a lot of different groups here that need plenty of time to understand the impact that some of these structural and price changes have with this. So having some kind of a venue, like I said, would be great within MSDG, which is more of a working group. MTAC is a great structure, and I know a lot of our listeners know I'm very passionate about MTAC, but it's really designed to have work groups that have beginning, middles, and ends. This is not something like that. This is an ongoing conversation with a cadence that has to be adjusted and agreed upon that works to the best interest of all the stakeholders within the mailing industry. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get those conversations started and do that with enough time so that we can be well prepared as we come into 2022. Because as I said before, the next, you know, we're going to have a price change for competitive products in January, as I mentioned before, but our next major change is going to be in July in terms of the software. And then we're going to get into that regular cadence where it'll be then after that, it'll be January and July and, you know, twice a year. And then if you have the roll on or roll off of the packages, and then the normal competitive product changes, I mean, you really are looking at 5 major releases. So anyway, turning to the Board of Governors, it looks like we do have some changes coming there as well. And as I noted on a prior podcast, Governor Bloom was reelected chairman at the last Board of Governors meeting, even though there was an effort to table that vote, which was likely due to Governor Bloom's term being set to expire on December 8th. And it seemed kind of odd to me anyway that the Board of Governors would reelect Governor Bloom to chairman without an active reappointment from President Biden. So I guess I wasn't too surprised when we learned that President Biden chose not to reappoint Ron Bloom, but rather put forward 2 other appointments to replace both Governor Bloom and Governor Barger, whose term also expires on December 8th. So Governor Bloom and Governor Barger, their terms are going to expire December 8th. And so the President Biden has now put forward two nominations to replace that. He nominated Dan Tangerlini, a Democrat who had served during the Obama administration, and Derek Kahn, a Republican who also served during the Obama administration and served as Undersecretary of Transportation for Policy in the United States Department of Transportation during the Trump administration. So both of these individuals have, you know, a history of serving the public, working with the government, working under some prior administration. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if President Biden had met these individuals or knew or know them. But, you know, we do have two going forward. And of course, if the Senate confirms these two nominations, then we will be back to having a politically balanced board of governors, four Democrats, four Republicans, and then one independent. And as I've mentioned, I think on a prior podcast, that is part of the law. You cannot have more than five, you know, part of the law under Title 39, you cannot have more than five of the governors from the same political party. So this keeps it balanced, but it also means that now, if these two nominations are confirmed by the Senate, the majority of the governors on the Board of Governors would be President Biden nominations rather than President Trump, which is what we had. Which some in the industry, you know, think that could be an indication of an attempt to sort of roll back some of the service performance changes for first class mail that were implemented as part of the Delivering for America plan. I heard a couple of other people suggest, you know, well, does this mean that you know, PMG to Joy is going to be removed? Honestly, folks, I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case. As I mentioned before, I was pleased to meet PMG to Joy at the Postcom meeting. I found him to be very forthright, candid, passionate, driven. You know, I think were the three words that I had used before. But changing a Postmaster General suddenly would have huge implications, a big ripple effect to the industry, and I don't want to see that. I don't, and I certainly don't want to see that for the U.S. Postal Service. We need to continue to focus on moving forward. There are a lot of things in the Delivering for America plan that I think are positive, and we need to look at it. But I'm going to have to agree with what Governor Ron Stroman said on I think around the May timeframe or back in the spring, that first board meeting when he joined the Board of Governors, when he noted that there just didn't seem to be enough savings to justify the change of the first class mail standards. You know, raising prices while reducing service continues to be a real challenge for mail owners to accept. The focus really should be, in my opinion, about leveraging this partnership with the industry to continually seek ways to share data, such as what that REMU project is going to provide, and to leverage advanced mail sortation and workflow automation that further inducts mail into the system, again, as Robert Cintron had urged the industry to do. So together, I'm really confident the mailing industry can help prepare the U.S. Postal Service for a sustainable and profitable future that does align with the Delivering for America plan. As I've said before, I don't want the Postal Service to try and do this alone. You're not in this alone, folks. You are our postal partners. We want to work with you. We want to have a viable and sustainable postal service that's going to benefit everybody. So hopefully we can continue to have these good conversations like we had at DTAC, like we're having at MTAC. I'm excited about next year, 2022, as we come into hopefully a face-to-face National Postal Forum in Arizona. And, of course, the many Postal Customer Council meetings that occur throughout the year. The mailing industry, this ecosystem of mail, is a great thing, and it's something that continues to be valuable to so many other people. And as I mentioned before, it's not no longer just about workshare discounts or costs avoided. It's about adding value collaboratively together. So I think that's if that can be done, we've got a good, sustainable ecosystem of mail that will serve everyone for the future. Hey folks, thank you for listening to today's podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about mail tracking or how to better automate your mailing workflows or perhaps look into more destination entry, please visit us at bccsoftware.com or give us a call. As always, we'd like to know, how can we help? Thank you for listening to the podcast and have a great day.